In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We all learned about the seven capital sins in catechism class, and we all recognize that we have disordered inclinations to all of these sins in our nature. We are more inclined to some of them than to others, but generally we're inclined to all of them to a greater or lesser extent. Now, each of these capital sins incline us to some need of our nature, but in a disordered way. So we have to defend ourselves from attack, but to defend ourselves in excess becomes anger. We have to eat, of course, but to eat to excess is gluttony, unless you're eating cupcakes on Sunday, apparently. We have to have a certain self-respect, but that can become pride. And we have to rest, but too much rest is sloth. Most of these things are fairly obviously wrong, and we know when we have committed one of these sins, and hopefully we repent of them and try to work against them. But the last capital sin, sloth, is more subtle than the others, and it can be easy to overlook. So we will examine today the sin of sloth and see what we can do about it. When we think of sloth, we conjure up in our minds a person who sits on a couch and eats donuts or cupcakes and watches TV all day and doesn't look for a job and never does anything to help anybody. Or we think of a slothful person as someone who sleeps too much. And so we say to ourselves, I get up every morning and I go to work, or I take care of my family and I work all day long. In fact, I work too much and I hardly get any rest, so I am definitely not slothful. So I think I will just sleep through this sermon on sloth. Wake me up when it's over. Well, the most obvious manifestation of sloth is certainly the person wasting his life on a couch. But sloth is not only not doing what we should be doing, but it is also to do something else instead of what we should be doing. In fact, the reason the person on the couch is slothful is because he is not doing what he should be doing. He is doing something else instead. And in the same way, when people don't do what they should be doing, even if they're doing something else instead, they are still being slothful. We said that sloth is a disordered appetite for rest. Rest in itself is something important, not only sleep. Actually, most people probably don't even get enough sleep, but also recreation, or at least a change of work from the work that we usually do. These things help us, and they allow us to do our duties better. We are not machines that can run forever without taking a break. And when we take a break, our mind rests, and when we go back to our normal duties, our mind is actually sharper because it has rested, and we're able to do our duties better. Sometimes getting away from things for a while even helps us solve problems in our work that we couldn't solve before. Psychologists say that our subconscious is thinking about the problem while we're away in the right side of the brain or something like that. And when we come back to it, we sometimes have a solution. Or sometimes we may be discouraged about some problem in our life. But when we get away from it for a while and we look at the whole situation from a distance, we realize that it was not as big of a deal as we thought. This is something that we have probably all experienced. And these things are important, and these are all good forms of rest. But the problem with our nature is that we desire too much rest, and of the wrong kind. We are inclined to love rest and leisure for their own sake, and not because they refresh us to do our duties of state. We would like to not have to do anything at all, just because we think we would enjoy that. How many times have we said that we would like to win the lottery so that we wouldn't have to go to work? so that we could spend our life sitting on a couch and watching TV. But this is disordered because man can't be happy when he has nothing to do. If rest is excessive, at a certain point it becomes tedious and boring, and we start to want some activity. In fact, the people that we pity the most are those who have no meaning in life and no occupation, such as people who are paralyzed, for example, in the hospital. Our nature is such that we can't be contented even in this life unless we keep busy most of the time, especially doing something that we really believe in and see the value of, such as working at a job to provide for our family. And our rest is only satisfying to the extent that it rests us from our work. Another problem with excessive rest is that it can become an escape from what we should be doing. This is a more common problem. It can be restful to work on something different for a change, but sometimes we try to find excessive rest in doing the wrong kind of work. For example, if parents neglect to pray with their children and teach them religion because they put in too many hours at work, or they spend too much time cleaning the house, then they are slothful even if they work all day long and into the night. They are doing that instead of their real duties, which are more important. But since they don't want to think that they are lazy, they occupy themselves with some other form of work, so that they can tell themselves that they are too busy to do their duty. Another duty that parents sometimes neglect is simply to spend time with their children, to show them the love and the attention that they need, and to show them by their example how to live and how to grow up to be good adults. Some parents might think it's a boring task to be around children, even their own, and so they spend their time working or pursuing personal hobbies instead. But this is a great dereliction of duty. Other parents might feel that they are inadequate to teach these things to their children because they are afraid that their children will see their defects and imitate their faults. They fear the terrible responsibility of forming their children's character. But they shouldn't be intimidated by this. Parents don't have to be perfect to do a good job of raising their children. They just basically have to be there for them. The great Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton said about parenting that if a thing is really worth doing, it's worth doing badly. He meant that even a parent who is imperfect, who tries, will do a good job, especially considering that there is no one else who can do the job for them. Sloth can also manifest itself at work when people waste time at work talking with their fellow employees or browsing the internet or running personal errands. People sometimes wonder if they commit a sin of injustice by not working all the time that they are on the clock, so to speak. And the answer is that they should work diligently, of course, but there is no real injustice, strictly speaking, as long as they don't waste more time than employees generally do at that place of work, especially if their supervisor is aware that they do that and doesn't complain too much. If someone does the work that they're expected to do, and their supervisor is generally content with their work, and they don't waste more time than the other employees do, then they're not committing a sin by spending a certain amount of time doing other things besides work. Employees generally understand that people do that, and they take that into account when they calculate how much they're going to pay somebody for a given job. But the worst form of sloth is that which affects our spiritual life. We all say that we don't have time to pray or to maintain our spiritual life as we should. Well, let's look at that for a second. How much time, really, do we need to do that? If we want a strong spiritual life, what do we have to do every day? Well, we should pray the rosary, say some morning and evening prayers, raise our minds briefly to God, just a couple of times throughout the day, and do a little bit of spiritual reading, let's say 5 minutes worth, which is actually quite a bit, and you would learn a lot in 5 minutes even. How long would all of these things take added together? The rosary, the prayers, and the reading would take 30 minutes, maybe 40 at the most. That's about as long as a single 30-minute episode of a TV show. And yet, how many of us do that? Some of us spend more time reading headlines or news websites each day. And yet, if we gave those few minutes to these devotions every day and did it well, which is the important thing, our spiritual life would be thriving. We would advance each day in the love of God if we did that, and we would be in good shape spiritually. But we don't do it because of the effort that it would take, because we are too concerned about our own rest. So how do we overcome sloth? One powerful means is to consider the shortness of time that we have in this life and the great amount that we have to get done in our lives. We human beings tend to be very short-sighted about time. We see that we have been living comfortably for a long time, the way we are living now, and we unconsciously tend to assume that we will be living like this basically forever. We don't see that this life is actually more like a race against the clock to live as well as we can in the short time that we have. We don't see that we only have a short time to raise our children in the love of God and to give them a good example. We don't see that we will only be children for a short time and that we have to obey our parents as well as we can now, because soon we will be on our own, and then we will have to bear our own responsibilities in life. And most of all, we don't see that one day we will see each day that went by without prayer as a day that was completely and utterly wasted, and that we can never recuperate the loss that we suffered on that day by our neglect. And this regret will not only come in the next life, certainly that will be greater, but it will haunt us even in this life too, because most of us one day will be old people, maybe living in a rest home, unable to do anything except think back on our lives. This will probably be sooner than we expect. And when that time comes, what will we regret? Will we look back and wonder why we spent so much time trying to earn that extra money while maybe our children grew up like pagans because we were never around and may now even hate us for our neglect? Or will we look back and see that we burned ourselves out to serve God, to do our duties of state as well as we could for the love of Him, because that's what He wants from us? Which will it be? When Our Lady appeared at Fatima, she told the three children to do penance for sin. She said that's what she wanted from the world. The children asked her what penance people should do. And what did Our Lady tell them? Did she say she wanted people to sleep on a bed of nails with a blanket made out of fiberglass insulation? No, she said that the hardest penance is to do the duties of one's state well. And to offer it up. Well, this is an astounding statement. Why did she say that? And what did she mean by that? We don't choose the duties and hardships of our state of life. They are directly imposed on us by the will of God, not by our own will. So we subordinate our will to God's will by doing our duties of state well. And also, we can't walk away from them. If the bed of nails and the fiberglass insulation blanket got too difficult for us, we could always get rid of them if we imposed that on ourselves. But we can't walk away from our situation in life. We have to make the best with what we have, and that can be very hard sometimes. But that's what God wants us to do, and He will give us the grace to do it if we ask Him. So let us ask our Divine Lord to help us overcome sloth and always remember His words, "I must work the works of Him that sent me whilst it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.